Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
I'm in part 60 of what would be my study, Liberalism, the New Improved Broad Road to Destruction. But in recent podcasts, I've been pointing out concerning, you know, the problems, the heretical views that are found in the movie, which is based on the book called The Shack. And I'm going to continue in a slight detour from my general liberalism study, ongoing study, which I will be getting back to probably in about two more podcasts. I wanted to concentrate on a couple of, what I like to call a Christian public service announcement. Since my concern is the deception in these last days, I wanted to comment on a couple of more movies that I have recently had the opportunity to view. And I probably won't have time to get through both of them today, and will probably bog down in the first one because there's a lot of information, not just from the movie itself, but involved with the group that this movie really is portraying, or at least an individual that's involved with this group. Not trying to be mysterious. You'll find out real soon, if I haven't already mentioned it, what I'm talking about here. But anyway, I saw the movie Hacksaw Ridge recently, a war movie from Mel Gibson. And to the average moviegoer, the hero in this movie, who was, I must say, it was a true American war hero, but to many, to the average moviegoer, they would feel that he was probably just a very religious Christian, quote-unquote, man, whose principles were really the focus of this movie. What probably escaped most of the moviegoers was that the hero who saved so many lives in this earthly physical life was part of a cult which will lead many to an eternal hell, which I might add, a death in hell which the cult denies or actually redefines theologically. And I'll get into that a little bit more later. But how tragic, a very heroic man, yet a very deceived man, whose cult, of course, is trying to take advantage of. Now, I would like to back up to the events leading to my seeing this movie. I got a flyer in the mail recently, not unlike others I've received in the past over many years, about a prophecy conference called Unlocking Bible Prophecy. Now, this particular flyer had an address. It was a non-church address. It was a community center in my local area. And in fact, a pastor at my church also got the flyer, and he asked me about it. And I told him what I believe I may have shared with you all in the past, that that the Seventh-day Adventists' standard operating procedure is to invite people to their prophetic events or these prophetic conferences, but never identifying themselves as the promoters of such because of their history of false prophecies. Very misleading, and it serves a purpose. When you go, let's say, theoretically, you go to the event and you see it's a Seventh-day Adventist site, well, that may or may not affect you, but their hope is that you're going to attend anyway, even if you're familiar with the Seventh-day Adventists. And since you've already made the trouble to come all the way out to the site where they're having it, you won't perhaps think in terms of, well, is somebody trying to mislead me by not by not identifying themselves? I mean, most churches would be proud to say, we're going to have this event at our church and name the name of their church. Well, the Seventh-day Adventists, interestingly enough, don't seem to be proud enough of themselves to identify themselves, but instead say, we're going to have this event here at this location and come on out. And then you go, oh, wait a minute, is this associated with that? Well, anyway, you get the idea. I have no doubt in my mind that that is their standard operating procedure. What happened next to me was more providential, I think, than accidental. And I just want to read from, I made note of this in my Facebook account. I said, I accidentally, providentially, drove by a Seventh-day Adventist building where they are holding their 17-day-long heretical prophecy conference. I was actually looking for a shortcut to another point in town, and I never knew that this particular Seventh-day Adventist church was there, and was, in fact, the source for this flyer that had been mailed to me, which I didn't figure out till a little bit later. I had warned locals about this after I had received their standard prophecy flyer in the mail, and heard that several folks in my church had also received it, and probably half the city as well. Now, as God allowed it, I just happened to be driving by when their afternoon program was letting out. I had driven by there the day before, and no one was in the building. It was in the building at the time. And interestingly enough, I hadn't planned on going back there the second day. I just happened to be going back again. I don't remember all the details, but there I was again. And the first day, there was no one there. The second day, they were just letting out. I was driving in that direction for another reason, and when I saw people coming out of the building, I drove up to a lady and asked if this was where the prophecy conference was being held. She said yes, and I asked for literature. I went in, and I noticed a booklet about a Mel Gibson war movie that's out called Hacksaw Ridge. They gave me the booklet, and I noticed that a postscript was written by Doug Batchelor. Now, of course, Doug Batchelor is a big leader in this cult. He has a program called Amazing Facts. The book was titled Hero of Hacksaw Ridge, and I came to find out that the movie was about a Seventh-day Adventist. I went to the library nearby to their computer and found several articles about it. In one, it said that the movie was not made by or for Seventh-day Adventists, but in another article in the USA Today, it can be clearly seen that the cult is seeking to get all the mileage out of it that they can. It talks about a group of them who have been handing out the booklet in front of a theater in Nashville. It says that the movie will spur questions for those unfamiliar with their cult. That's my word again for their group. And they want to help answer them. Later in the article, it says, while the denomination does proselytize, the church views the movie not as an evangelism tool, but as an outreach opportunity. And I said, I'll bet they do. And this is, of course, what all cults do. Now, let me just reference these two articles in case you want to check them out. One of them is from the, it says, Why Hacksaw Ridge Matters to Adventists by John Bradshaw. And it's in the Adventist Review, I believe is the name of the site. It says, Hacksaw Ridge was not made by Seventh-day Adventists, nor was it made for Seventh-day Adventists. But Hacksaw Ridge presents Adventists with an unprecedented opportunity to speak up for Christ. Goes on to say, Hacksaw Ridge is poised to thrust Seventh-day Adventists into the forefront of global consciousness. When retired neurosurgeon Ben Carson ran for U.S. Republican presidential nomination, influential news outlets profiled Seventh-day Adventism and Seventh-day Adventist beliefs. And then it says, church members will want to be ready to engage in conversations with people who watch Hacksaw Ridge. They will need to be prepared to answer questions from people who want to know more about not only Desmond Doss, the hero of the film, but about what Desmond Doss believed and what it was that drove him to be steadfast in his faith in God. Okay, that was the first review. Second review, Mel Gibson's Hacksaw Ridge put Seventh-day Adventists in the spotlight. That's from USA Today. It says, as moviegoers file into theaters for Mel Gibson's bloody World War II biopic, members of Nashville First Seventh-day Adventist Church will be outside sharing of the story of the man who inspired the film. It says that they expect Hacksaw Ridge to spur questions for those unfamiliar with their Christian denomination, and they will want to help them answer them, says the church's pastor. It says that's why a group of them will be handing out small booklets about the World War II hero, probably the booklet that I have in my hand that I picked up at the so-called prophecy conference. It says, we just wanted to share a little bit more insight because of his faith, his commitment, his dedication, not only to serve his God, but also his country. While the denomination does proselytize, and I quoted this before, the church views the movie not as an evangelism tool, but as an outreach opportunity. Okay. In my comments in Facebook, I said, when Romney ran for president, we had Mormons in our local park with a card table set up that they had set up so they could answer questions about their cult, which Romney is a member of. When Ben Carson ran for president, there were Seventh-day Adventists out and about explaining about their cult and how it really wasn't a cult. Methinks they protest too greatly. It's too bad about Carson because I like his politics and he seems like a pretty decent guy. But if you follow his spirituality, you will end up in the hell he doesn't believe in. I haven't seen Hacksaw Ridge, and of course I have now. But it says, and I know Mel Gibson is a hardcore Catholic, I wrote, so I believe, as the Seventh-day Adventists say, it's not made by or for Adventists, but you can be sure they will try to get mileage out of it. That's why the book was on the table at the prophecy conference, so that unsuspecting visiting souls can be deceived into thinking that this is a good church rather than what it really is, a cult, that believes it is the only true remnant church to whom all must come to escape Babylon, which is any other church, including true biblical ones. Even the publishing company of the booklet is called Remnant Publishing, and I wrote, be advised, be aware. Or be aware. Be advised, be aware. Now, you know, at the next point, I wanted to share from, let's see, I talked to my pastor later about this thing. He had mentioned that he had also gotten the flyer, and we had a great conversation about a variety of topics, especially the recent false prophecy conference put on by the local Seventh-day Adventist cult. We looked at the booklet they wrote to piggyback onto the Mel Gibson movie Hacksaw Ridge for the purpose of deceiving souls into joining their cult. It's called Hero of Hacksaw Ridge, and includes not only the story of a Seventh-day Adventist war hero, but also includes the half-truths and some of the heresies of this cult. I know it was a providential thing that I drove by their building when the session was letting out and got the book and some of their other propaganda. Okay, now, what I mean by propaganda is, as you look at the prophecy conference, and I've been to a few of their prophecy conferences, one almost the whole thing, about 13 out of 15 sessions, what happens is you are slowly but surely being indoctrinated out of biblical faith into the Adventist deceptions and heresies, and you don't even realize it as it's taking place. But anyway, this was a 17-long meeting, and as the pastor noted on the flyer, he said, "Well, it looks like there's only three sessions on there." And I said, "Yeah, it sure looks like that, until you get the whole layout like I did, because I was providentially driving by at the right time." Now, I also commented on a third Facebook thread that the hero of Hacksaw Ridge, I said, here's the book from the Seventh-day Adventist cult that they are using to piggyback on top of Gibson's movie, Hacksaw Ridge, to deceive and mislead people into joining the cult. The book presents the story of Desmond Doss, the Seventh-day Adventist, and their heretical doctrines, as well as their disingenuous half-truths about what they really believe about salvation by law versus grace, etc. This can be found at the end of the book, as well as their false view of hell. And then also minus Ellen G. White's false prophecies. You don't find anything about Ellen G. Wright in the book or in the prophecy, in the conference. I didn't before, and you won't. But I'll say a little bit more about that later. But then they seldom mention her until you are trapped in the cult. You know, they don't mention anything about her till you're in. Notice that the book is being offered by Amazing Facts website. Amazing Facts, for those of you who thought it was a Christian program, it's not. I don't recommend buying it and thereby contributing to this cult unless you're going to use it for research, and that is this book, The Hero of Hacksaw Ridge. Now, let me make sure I'm on target here. Okay, now, the false doctrines, let me just... You know, the problem with this group, like all cults, is they redefine theological terms to deceive and to mislead. And they say things like, and this is from the book, Hero of Hacksaw Ridge. One of the many myths about Seventh-day Adventists is that they believe they are the only ones who will be saved. That's not true, they say. Quite the contrary. Adventists believe that the majority of God's followers are actually scattered among other denominations and faiths. There are many true Christians in other churches who may not fully understand everything taught in the Bible. That's why you have to go to their 17-week propaganda session, prophecy conferences. But their hearts are right with God. Godly people who love the Lord are found in many churches. It says, Adventists also believe that as the last days of Earth histories unfold and the warfare of Satan against God's people becomes more acute, that a clear knowledge of truth will be held up before the world, and that those who truly want to follow the Lord will leave any church, religious belief, or organization that is opposed to the Bible, or at least how they misinterpret it. Revelation 18:4, they quote, and faithfully join those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. So you have a group that refers to themselves from another conference that I went to. Their decision for Christ card says, I choose to take the Bible only as my guide to truth. I realize how error and traditions have been kept in many Christian churches. I choose to come out of Babylon and all false worship and into the one faith of Jesus. I would like to become a part of God's remnant church. So they are actually against all churches. They're the only true church. But so it's disingenuous to say that they believe they're the only ones who will be saved. No, they believe you'll be saved as long as you're in their church, or in their cult, I should say. And get the heck out of yours, because you're worshiping God on Sunday, and that is a terrible sin. Because, of course, in their legalistic beliefs, they venerate all law, actually, and salvation by law, which they also deny, which, again, is disingenuous, and they're not telling you the truth. But I'm not going to say much more about that right now, because I don't have a lot of time. You need to have it interpreted by them to get it right. You need to be part of the remnant church, which is theirs, and you need to get out of yours, and you need to follow the law. You know, they say you're not saved by the law, and yet you really are. And again, I'll talk a little bit more about that later. But let's look at, again, from this book, what they say about hell. Seventh-day Adventists have been accused of not believing in hell. In fact, not only do Adventists believe the lost will burn in hell, but in one sense, their hell is hotter than most Southern Baptists believe. Baptists believe in a hell that simmers forever. But Adventists believe the fires of hell are so hot that they actually burn up the wicked. They believe the Bible does not teach that sinners are eternally tortured in hell. Well, the Bible teaches that there is eternal destruction. In fact, from Norman Geisler's booklet on the Essential Doctrines Made Easy, eternal separation, he quotes 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 and 9. He says, eternal separation, this will happen when the Lord is revealed from heaven. The Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will be punished with everlasting destruction, eternal, and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it, Revelation 20:11-15. And basically, to cut it short, it says, the dead were judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire, where he's going to suffer and be punished with everlasting destruction. So that's just, you know, one verse. We don't have a lot of time. But they're proud of the fact that they have a counterfeit hell. They have a counterfeit gospel. They have a false prophetess named Ellen G. White. Many of her false prophecies, of course, can be found. It's easily documented. We won't go there for sake of time. But they will confuse many people with the fact that they're not truthful. They're very disingenuous folks, sad to say. Anyway, let me keep moving. I just want to make note of the fact that in 2 Corinthians, if I can find it quickly, oh, you always think you're ready. But this is one I really should have memorized, but I'm going to look it up. Basically, we're told that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4, or verse 3, but I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that comes preaches another Jesus whom you have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel that you might bear well with him. And that is exactly what happens so oftentimes, because the cults have, of course, a different Jesus, a different gospel, a different spirit, and in this case, a different hell. And this is often the case. There are other counterfeits that take place other than those things that I have just mentioned to you in those verses. Now, I read from the... Okay, now, if you want to know the truth, okay, about any group, I would say go to the horse's mouth. Go to those folks who've been there, done that, and who have escaped the cult, and are actively giving their time, sacrificing their time and efforts to warn you about what they came out of. Just like we warn sinners, lost sinners, to be saved so that they won't be in an eternal hell, which is a good deterrent to not going there, you know, to fear of going there. We need to warn people not only that they could end up in hell, but they could end up in a repressive, legalistic cult like the Seventh-day Adventists. Now, you know, you can't believe them. You simply cannot believe them, and I'll give you a couple reasons as we continue to press on with the time that I have. There is a great little booklet by Lori McGregor. It's called Facts Seventh-day Adventists Won't Tell You. And let me read a little of this to you. Seventh-day Adventists won't tell you that they're behind the Revelation seminars they sponsor. Did I tell you? They won't tell you. That's right. Why? They're being humble? I don't think so. But anyway, it says they act all interdenominational, if questioned. Watch out for these SDA outreaches as well. Voice of Prophecy, Faith for Today, It Is Written, The Quiet Hour, Amazing Facts. Also, books that are published by Pacific Press that often end up in dentists and doctors' offices, these little blue, colorful children's books. It says they won't tell you that they consider themselves to be the only true remnant church. Their prophetess, Ellen G. White, whom they revere and believe without question, has told them that. Satan has taken full possession of the churches, she wrote in Spiritual Gifts. That's the name of the book, in page 189 through 190. They also believe our prayers are an abomination to God. That's from Spiritual Gifts, page 190. This is what they think of you and your church. They revere their founding prophetess, Ellen G. White, and made this statement in their ministry magazine of October 1981, and they've never retracted it. We believe the revelation and inspiration of both the Bible and Ellen White's writings to be equal quality. The superintendence of the Holy Spirit was just as careful and thorough in one case as in the other. They won't tell you too much about Ellen G. White at their public seminars, as I said earlier, and as I've experienced, but their goal is to bring the person attending to the point of conversion and baptism. If she's so important to them, if she's a so-called prophetess, the spirit of prophecy and all that, then why do you not hear about her until you get trapped in the cult? Well, that's why. Doctrines on salvation. If you receive Christ as your Savior through the Seventh-day Adventists, only your past sins up to that moment are forgiven. Now you must get to work to earn your salvation. They'd say, oh no, we believe in grace. They're lying to you, like all cults do. The terms of salvation for every son and daughter of Adam are here outlined. It is plainly stated that the condition of gaining eternal life is obedience to the commandments of God. If only they would pay attention to the ninth commandment about not bearing false witness, not misleading, not lying, not knowingly lying to people. But again, I'll say a little bit more about that. Christ exclaimed, "It is finished," when he died for our sins, but it is not finished in Seventh-day Adventism. So enough with that helpful little booklet. Let me move on. again, if you want to get it from the horse's mouth, Proclamation Magazine. Now, in Proclamation Magazine, there was an article from their September 2010 issue, and it was entitled, "Did Adventist Leaders Lie to Walter Martin?" You know, the great Walter Martin, who I'm so thankful for all the work he's done with the cults, but did they lie to Walter Martin? That's the name of this article. And oh, by the way, this magazine is put out by ex-Seventh-day Adventists. They know all about the lies of Seventh-day Adventism, and they expose them in their magazine. So I highly recommend that to you. Now, I might throw in the fact that when I was in a cult class at Columbia Bible College, Pastor Scott, our teacher, told us that he almost got sucked into the Seventh-day Adventists. And even though we used Walter Martin's Kingdom of the Cults as our textbook, he wanted to give that disclaimer that he felt like in this particular point and issue they had snookered Walter Martin. They're good liars, I'll give them that. But as far as keeping commandments, they're really not good with number 9. So in this article, did Adventist leaders lie to Walter Martin? With the time that we have here, I'm going to try to get through some of this real quick. A powerful circle, the non-Adventists. The evangelicals involved in the conferences with the Seventh-day Adventists back in the 50s were primarily Walter Martin, Donald Gray Barnhouse, and George Cannon. It says the crafting of phraseology that sounded orthodox to evangelicals while not renouncing historic Adventist positions intentionally obscured the true nature of Adventists' belief. Martin and Barnhouse were convinced that the Adventist Church had changed some of its cultic doctrines to conform to the evangelical understanding. And this is in a book the Seventh-day Adventists put out called Questions on Doctrine, otherwise known as QOD. It says QOD, in reality, represents a total rejection of Barnhouse and Martin's dispensational understanding of the Second Advent and the Covenant. While it is a courageous statement of the Adventist position on such controverted topics as the Sabbath, the Mark of the Beast, Daniel 8, the Investigative Judgment, the State of the Dead, Hell, Babylon, the Remnant, and other topics that were offensive to the evangelical community. They're liars, folks. Now, on page 13 of the article, the Adventist Church in Practice. Ever since the Adventist Church published Questions on Doctrine, or QOD, to convince Martin and Barnhouse that it was not a cult, the organization continued publishing materials endorsing traditional Adventism. In other words, QOD did not alter the Church's doctrines and teachings. A quotation from the Review in 1971 shows that even 14 years after QOD was published, some very un-Protestant positions were held by Adventists and promulgated in the official church magazine. When will the people of God cease trusting their own wisdom? When will they come to the place where they will cease to measure, construe, and interpret by their own reason what God says to them through His appointed channel? His appointed channel. When we come to the place where we place no trust in man nor in the wisdom of men, but unquestionably accept of and act upon what God says through this gift, then will the spirit of prophecy, and that was Ellen G. White's thing, that's why she's held higher than the scriptures, actually, as set before us in the Bible and as witnessed in the present manifestations of the gift, be confirmed among us and become, in fact, the counsel, guide, and final court of appeal among God's people. Let me wrap. I'm getting running out of time here. Did Adventist leadership lie to Walter Martin? The definition of lie is to tell an untruth with the intent to deceive. Included in the definition is the act of not telling the whole truth or telling partial truths with the intent to mislead. Given this definition of lie, the simple answer to the question must be a clear yes. Adventist leadership lied to Walter Martin. We can go to great lengths to discuss the specifics of the wordsmithing they did when explaining their doctrines, comparing the language of QOD to earlier written positions. Unfortunately, very few remain who were part of that experience. Will the Adventist leadership repent? Regarding the direction that the Adventist cult was taking in the 70s and 80s, Walter Martin said, "I fear that if they continue to progress at this rate, that the classification of a cult can't possibly miss being reapplied to Seventh-day Adventism." And finally, and I'm a little over, the Seventh-day Adventist Church had a similar opportunity in the 50s. When meeting with Martin, they had the chance to come clean about their anti-Trinitarianism, multi-phase atonement, identification of Sunday worship with the Mark of the Beast, Sabbath requirement, prophetess Ellen White, and many unbiblical beliefs. Seventh-day Adventism has been able to infiltrate the evangelical community because key leaders deceived Walter Martin into believing they were evangelical Christians. Now, the author of this, and I'm cutting really to the bone here, was raised a non-Christian. It says later it was Walter Martin's endorsement of Seventh-day Adventists as evangelical brothers that gave him permission to become an Adventist before marrying his Adventist fiance. 15 years later, Steve began to learn the truth. So anyway, thank God for Stephen Pilcher, the author of that article. I've got to go. I'm over time. We'll see you next week.